entitled the lesson this morning, Need One, Be One. A while back, Brother Campbell came and preached about friends, and it got me thinking about just how important friendship really is. And so I thought, let's look at different aspects of friendship. And what we want to do, we're going to look at a series of lessons. I've also have seen a lot of research and even a book about how important the relationships in our lives are. And if you doubt that, just think about how much better you feel when the people that you know and that are what you would consider friends are getting along with you as compared to how you feel when those people who are friends are upset at you about something. You know the difference in the way you feel. Just physically, you feel different. Emotionally, you feel different. That friendship plays such an important role. So as we look at this, we're going to look at the different aspects of friendship. And one of the sources of research that I was looking at dealt with a whole lot of studies that have been conducted over many years by the Gallup organization. You've probably heard of the Gallup poll. And being a part of that, I get some of their research and things. I get some of the information from them. And I received a book about some research. And that book's entitled Vital Friends. And looking at that, he's talking about in business and in just life in general. But I thought a lot of the things that he pointed out were really biblical concepts that it's taken people 2,000 years to figure out. And it's kind of interesting that the things that he was talking about, I thought, well, yeah, that should be common sense to us. But I realized that because so many people have gotten away from the Bible and what the Bible teaches about friendship as well as other topics, they don't realize that that should just be common sense. And they don't understand those things. But he broke friendship down into 8 different categories. 8 different types of friends, I guess you could say. And we're going to take a couple of weeks and look at those different categories. Today we're just going to introduce the topic and the ideas. But we saw in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 24, the scripture that was read to us, a man that has friends must show himself friendly. And that's the title of our lesson. If you need one, be one. Friendship is a two-way street. Have you ever met somebody who decided that you were their friend even though you didn't particularly care for them? And maybe everywhere you went, they would come up to you and just smother you. And everywhere they went, they would tell people about my friend so-and-so. Or maybe you had that kind of relationship reversed. Maybe you wanted to be friends with somebody, wanted to consider them your friend even though they really could care less about having a relationship with you at all. Well, we have those kinds of things happen, don't we? But the best friendships, of course, both people admit to the friendship. It's kind of hard to be friends with somebody who doesn't want to admit they even know your name, or maybe really doesn't remember your name. Now, we all like to say, we've met, especially, you know, people have met somebody important. They said, well, you know, the president and I are good friends. Well, maybe they saw the president at a speech somewhere and maybe even shook his hand and introduced themselves. He doesn't know them, doesn't remember, you know, he does that to thousands of people every week. But they want to claim that relationship. Or it may be somebody else, famous. Maybe an actor or actress or some athlete. Maybe you got an autograph from somebody famous that, look what, they signed it, and you know, they always said, they said, to my good friend, so-and-so or whatever, and you know good and well, they don't even know that person, don't even remember that person 5 minutes after they're done signing that. But they say that. And so, see, my friend signed this. You don't know them. If they saw you on the street and you went up to them, they'd probably call their bodyguard to come haul you off to jail. But on the other hand, we have real friends. We have the people that we go to when we're in need, that come to us when they're in need. We have that kind of relationship with some people as well. And that's the second part of Proverbs 18 and verse 24. There is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. There comes a time in our lives when we have friends that are there for us when we need them. If we need a friend, we have to be a friend. In the research that was done, we have to understand that we can't be everything to someone else. And they can't be everything to us necessarily. There are all these different roles that the friendship plays. And some friends are good at just being upbeat and cheerful and telling you a joke that makes you laugh. But they're not very good at listening when you really have trouble. You know the difference in those two types of friends. There's another friend who may really encourage you at one point when you're really struggling. They may really help. But they don't really give you very good advice when you really have a tough decision to make. You see, there are different types of friends. And we go to people as our friends for different reasons. But as we look at these, we're going to look at two different aspects of this friendship. I know we all have friendships, and as we go through this, we're going to hopefully learn a little bit about how to develop our friendships with other people. But primarily, I want us to look at two things. One, how Jesus is a friend to us. And secondly, on the other side of that, how we can be a friend to Jesus. You see, there's a perfect example of where, even though we can be friends, the role of one friend is very different from the role of the other friend, isn't it? Jesus' role in our friendship is not the same as our role. There are things that are expected of us that aren't expected of Him, and we have expectations of Him that we don't expect to fulfill on our side of it. Certainly the importance of friendship can't be denied. You ever realize that most of the people who are truly troubled, the ones who commit suicide, the ones who are homeless, the ones who are recluses, like the Unabomber, those are people who didn't have friends. Not real friends. Oh, they had acquaintances maybe. And after someone, particularly someone who has committed suicide, after that, everybody says, oh, I'm so shocked. He never told me, and we were such good friends. They weren't good friends. If they'd been good friends, that person would have come to you about those kinds of problems that they were having, that deep need that they had. But there are certainly people in this world who don't have any friends. Study has shown that for the most part, the people who just fall to the point where they're homeless, they don't have anywhere to go, anyone to turn to, that's because they don't have any friends. Even their family has turned against them. They don't have this friend, like Proverbs 18:24 talks about, that sticks closer than a brother. The one who says, I'll help you out of this. I'll stick with you through it. Studies have been done of those who both are homeless and those who at one time were homeless but were able to get back into what we would call normal society. Were able to get a job and get a home again, a place to live and build their way back up. And what they found was that the difference in those two many times was just one person. One person who befriended them and stood by them. Now I know in a lot of cases, there are some mental health issues there that are involved where somebody just can't relate. But most of the time, somebody falls on hard times, and if they don't have somebody to help them, they just fall further and further into harder and harder times, and things just get worse and worse. They also found that friendships in the workplace were important. Productivity goes up in companies where people have friends. A lot of companies that they examine who allow for and even promote friendships in the workplace outperform other companies. They talk specifically about the difference between General Motors and Ford and Toyota. In the 80s, Toyota had no market share. It was such a small little piece of the pie when it came to selling cars in the United States. Now, they sell more than General Motors or Ford. Well, why is that? Well, because the people that work there like each other. They promoted friendship, whereas General Motors, what are we always hearing about? A union strike or a lockout. And there's always the strife. What did Jesus say? A house divided against itself can't stand. Why do we hear about them filing for bankruptcy or they're laying off more employees? They can't. The same thing is true in the church. We know it's not a business, but the same principle that Jesus spoke of a house being divided against itself, not being able to stand, that same thing applies in the church. We have to have friendships. We have to have relationships with each other. It can't just be a place where a whole bunch of strangers come and sit for a couple of hours. It has to be a family. There have to be relationships and friendships. What they found was that even how much a person made on the job, their perception of it changed based on whether they had a friend or not. Someone who said, "I have a best friend at work," felt better about their level of income than someone who didn't. Even if the person who didn't have a friend was making more money than the one who did have a friend. They just felt better about everything. There's something about having a friend. It's so important. Studies done years ago by Flavel Yakely, who is a church growth expert. He studied churches. He studied conversion rates. He studied what churches do to keep new converts as faithful members. He studied all of these kinds of things. And one of the things that he found was when a person is converted to the church, if that person doesn't get 3 or 4 relationships built with other members of that congregation, they're most likely going to fall away. Now that doesn't mean everybody. And what? They know the truth. Shouldn't they stick with it? Well, yes. But the fact of the matter is, without the human connection, the knowledge of the truth isn't enough for most people. They need somebody that they can talk to, somebody they can relate to. And even though we know Jesus is our friend, we know that no greater love has a man than this, that he laid down his life for his friends, Jesus said, and you are my friend. He has laid his life down for us. What a friendship. But that's a little different, isn't it, than being able to actually give somebody a hug or shake their hand or talk to them and have them talk back to you. And I think that's one of the reasons that so many people are so desperate to have the spiritual experience, the religious experience, where they actually think that God talks to them, because they really need a friend. They need somebody to talk back to them. And yes, we know this is God's Word and He speaks to us through His Word, but you know, it's just not the same to read those words on the page as it is to actually speak face to face with someone. One of the things that was said about Moses in Exodus 33 and verse 11, "The Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaks unto his friend." Well, that's the way we talk to friends, isn't it? We just talk to them face to face. Yes, sometimes we talk to them over the telephone. And yes, sometimes, although less and less, we even write a letter to a friend. But we've got to realize that friendship is so very important to life. A cruel study, if you can call it a study, an experiment of sorts, was done in Nazi Germany. Hitler thought that the human race, and particularly his soldiers, would be better if they didn't have human emotions. If they weren't constantly tempted by love and tenderness and compassion and things like that, if they were basically more like robots. And so what he did was he had an entire group of babies that were born, And he took that group of babies and he put them in this special, you can't really call it a hospital, but he put them in this place where they were given a bottle every so often. All the physical needs as far as that part was concerned, their diapers were changed. But it was all done without physical contact from another human being as much as possible. The workers wore gloves when they worked with those babies. They wouldn't hug them. They wouldn't hold them. They wouldn't kiss them. They wouldn't do all of the things that a mother would normally do with a child. They fed them, gave them the bottle, they changed their diapers, but they wouldn't show them any love. Hitler thought he was going to make a stronger, better human being by doing that. What actually happened was most of those children became sick and died. Because human contact, love, is important to us as human beings. God made us that way. We know how important friendship is. We have a need for a friend. I don't care how independent you think you are, how strong you think you are, how much you think I can do it myself. You need a friend. All of us need friendship. We need a friend that we can lean on. How important it is to have Jesus as our friend. He's a friend who can supply all our needs. But many times we're afraid to go to Him. We don't want to bother Him. Or maybe we just don't feel like we have a friend in Jesus. The song we sang, and I appreciate Tyrone leading that song, what a friend we have in Jesus. And yet, so many of us treat Him more like just an acquaintance. Or maybe just somebody we've seen around town. But we don't really treat Him like a friend. We don't really take all our troubles to Him. We don't really seek for His advice about how to deal with the problems we're facing. We go to somebody else about that. We have a friend in Jesus if we'll just take advantage of that friendship. But of course, we have a need for Christian friends. It's often been said, you can't get to heaven alone. And by that, a lot of times people mean, you're not going to make it by yourself that you go and not bring somebody else with you. But at the same time, even though we also know, on the other hand, that we will be judged according to our deeds, we know it's hard to make it to heaven without somebody else helping you along the way. That's why we teach our young people how very important it is to marry a Christian mate, so that they have someone who will help them and support them and encourage them, and someone that they can help and support and encourage along the way, rather than having someone who's going to fight against them. How much harder that is. And that's why so many times in the church that the groups of ladies get together, groups of men get together, they develop these friendships. They encourage each other. They talk about how they can be strengthened in their friendship to each other and their friendship to the Lord. Because they know they need somebody to help them along the way. We're following Jesus. But sometimes we need somebody else to encourage us to follow Jesus. We need somebody else to tell us which way Jesus would have done this. Even though we have the Scriptures just like they do. Sometimes, like the Ethiopian eunuch, we need someone to guide us. And sometimes, we just get down. Proverbs 17:17 and 18 says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. A friend loves at all times, and that's what we need. We don't need just somebody who will love us when things are going well. And when we can do something for them. Proverbs 19:4 says, wealth makes many friends. But we don't need those kind of friends. Those friends, you ever see somebody wins the lottery or something of that nature? They get a big inheritance or whatever it is. Boy, the friends and relatives come out of the woodwork, don't they? People they never knew they knew show up because they want some of that money. But Proverbs 14:20 tells us the poor is hated even of his own neighbor. Your own neighbor doesn't like you. You don't have money. You can't give them something because people are so selfish so many times. Well, we need a friend who is not going to be selfish, but is going to look out for our interests. But of course, that would make us selfish, wouldn't it, if we always just need someone else? You see, we also need to be a friend. Going back to the part of Proverbs 18:24, a man that has friends must show himself friendly. We have to be a friend. Jesus first showed his dedication to be our friend before he called on us to do what was necessary for us to be his friend. And we need to do the same thing. There's a thing spoken of many times in the church called friendship evangelism, where you try to evangelize your friends. It works a lot better in many cases than just going out knocking on the door of a total stranger and trying to get them to become a Christian. Because that friend already knows you. They already like you if they're your friend. And so they're more apt to listen to what you have to say about religion or about Christianity. So that's one of those aspects where we go out, we make friends. We become friends to people. And then we have that opportunity to share the gospel with them. Now, of course, there are those that we knock on the door and they study and they're converted as a result of that. A lot of times, in the process of those studies, we develop a relationship with those individuals. We become friends because of that. That certainly has been the case with some who I studied with that I wasn't friends with before I studied with them. Some even, sometimes even that didn't become Christians. They never did. But I still feel this relationship with them. I still feel a friendship toward them, even though they haven't obeyed the gospel as I hoped that they would. But we need to understand how important it is for us to be a friend. Someone was asked, a psychologist, a psychiatrist, I'm not sure which, I'm not real sure about the difference in those two things. But they were asked, what should somebody do if they feel like they're on the verge of a nervous breakdown? And his answer was this. If someone feels that they're stressed to the point where they're about to have a nervous breakdown, what they need to do is go find someone else who has a serious problem and help that person get through it. How's that going to help? Well, because many times what brings on a nervous breakdown is the inward focus. Being my needs, my problems, my difficulties, my struggles. And if we can look and see somebody else's problems and help them with that, it takes our focus off of our own problems. That doesn't make them disappear entirely, but it does make them fade into the background for a while. And we're not so focused on those problems that we have. And that's one of the things that Jesus calls on us as Christians to do, to reach out to those who are in need and help them so that we're not so focused on self. Friendships are important. We need a friend, and we need to be a friend. We're going to look throughout the coming lessons about how Jesus is a friend to us. And we're also going to look at how we can be a friend to Him. And in doing that, we're going to find, hopefully, our strength. Because we may not be able to do all of those things. Jesus can. He can do any and all of those things that we're going to study because He's God. But as human beings, sometimes we're limited. Our experiences, our personality, our physical abilities, our mental abilities, our emotional abilities that we have limit us to what we can do for another person. And even limit us to some degree what we can do for God. The Bible tells us about the different talents and the different levels of talents that different individuals have. So it shouldn't surprise us to find that out. But we need to be a friend, and the best friend that we can be in the way that we can be that friend. We need to do it to the best of our ability, once we find what our ability is. James 2:23 tells us that Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Do you know God needs friends too? Well, he's God. He doesn't need anything, sure. He needs friends. He needs friends like Abraham who will believe him and obey him and follow him and do what they can to spread the knowledge of him and of his salvation that he offers to everyone. What a friend we have in Jesus, but also what about our need to be a friend? There's another song, I didn't find it, but I may find it by next week. I'll be a friend to Jesus. Will you be a friend to Jesus? If you're here this morning and you're a Christian, but perhaps you need friends, but you haven't been a friend. Well, if you need one, then you're going to have to be one. Friendships can't be one-sided. You can't expect everybody to be your friend and yet you not be somebody else's friend. We call that a user, when somebody is constantly needing someone else but never giving. Friendship has to be give and take. Our relationship with God is the same way. He gives and we take. What do we give in return, though? If you're a Christian and you're not giving back to God, you need to do that. If you're here and you're not a Christian, you can become one this morning. Revelation 1:3 says, "Blessed is he that reads and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep the things which are written." We've got to hear his word. But that's not enough. We must also believe it. John 11, verses 25 and following, Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die." We've got to believe. Truly believe. Not just say we believe, but really believe. We've got to be willing to repent. Jesus himself in Matthew 4:17 began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Well, it's here now. So all the more the urgency for people to repent while it is still here. The day will come when it'll be too late. Then we must confess. Acts 8:37, Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And the Ethiopian eunuch answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." There's the confession of faith. Not only believing it, but being bold enough to say you believe it. And then, of course, baptism. The Ethiopian eunuch, after that confession, Philip and the eunuch both went down into the water and he baptized him. Acts 8 and verse 38. And then, of course, we must continue to live faithfully. Hebrews 3:13 and 14 says, "But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." So we must turn to God. If we want Him to be our friend on the day of judgment, we're going to have to show ourselves to be His friend in this life. If you're here and you have a need to respond to that invitation for any reason, we ask that you do so as we stand and as we sing.